Hi everyone, just a quick note before we get started. When we recorded the first four episodes of this season, I accidentally left the recording source as my laptop's microphone instead of our more upscale setup. This resulted in uneven audio with me being louder and David, who sits across the table, being quieter. As a result, the audio quality in these first four episodes is less than I'm used to putting out. I used every trick I know to get something usable, and hopefully these are still listenable. This is something I care about being good, and I probably have to admit that it hurts my ego if these episodes are someone's first listen, and they think that we're always at this level. And because of my ego issues, I'm going to run this little disclaimer before the four affected episodes, and that will allow me to get over myself enough to publish these. On to the show.
Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. Welcome to season four of the podcast. Today we're going to talk about a new AR that came out, approved ruling in NCAA umpiring. It's 10-8. It's all about the pitching and pitching motion and some approved rulings that, from discussion I've seen, seems to indicate maybe codifying something the way it maybe has been called, clarifying a little something in the rules. And so we're just going to talk all about that and what the ramifications are and what the guidance has been, some of the videos we've seen and things like that.
Maybe get into some comments that you see on social media with it too. And then, of course, you know, my humble opinion about it. So it's Rule 10533. And as Pete indicated, it's AR 10-8. So after legally taking the signal, the pitcher rocks back onto the heel and begins the initial step stride. As the pivot foot transitions from heel to toe during forward movement across the pitcher's plate, this action produces a momentary slight separation between the pivot foot and the surface of the plate, commonly referred to as clearing the cleats. Is this legal? So the ruling, so now the approved ruling, says that Rule 10.5.3.3 permits natural heel-to-toe or toe-to-heel rocking during the step stride, and this rocking motion may occur simultaneously with the forward movement of the pivot foot. A minimal incidental separation over the plane of the pitcher's plate resulting solely from this action is not considered lifting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so the wording actually of 10.5.3.3, you know, it's interesting the way this is phrased. It says that the rule permits natural rocking and this rocking may occur simultaneously, et cetera, et cetera. Is that actually the wording that's in there? Or when it says it permits it, is this also kind of an interpretation that has always existed in people's minds? Like, is the wording of the rule this? Okay.
Yeah, because the rule actually says, here's the rule, 10.5.3.3. You cannot believe it. The pivot foot must remain in contact with the ground. However, rocking onto either the toe or heel is allowed.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, so you... So if you think about ingredients on a box, they put an ingredient that is the most ingredient by weight first. You know, if you think about things I'm telling you, if I'm giving you instructions, I'll probably tell you the most important thing first. And if they list this rule, the very first thing they say is must maintain contact. Then they describe what a rock is. But now this is saying this AR is just helping us by saying, even though we said must maintain contact, if you're rocking and you don't maintain contact a little bit as part of the natural motion within the plane of the plate, that's okay.
Yes, that's what the ruling does for us.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Which, okay, here comes David's soapbox moment. Or for this particular episode anyway, there might be more soapbox moments in this episode, but here's the first one. Why? Why not just make pitchers maintain contact with the pitcher's plate? This is the easiest thing to teach when pitchers are 6 years old. And every pitching coach in the world, for every sanction in the world, could very easily say, you may not lose contact with the pitcher's plate until, you know, after the pitch, right? Or, you know, or after the pitch starts, right? So this whole, the idea of leaping now being allowed, that's fine. That doesn't bother me a bit. So, but until such a time that you have created that initial push off the pitcher's plate, you're not allowed to lose contact with plate. Really, really simple. Super easy for umpires.
Yeah.
They see somebody lose contact with the pitcher's plate, illegal. Done. All of this craziness, and I'm sorry, I'm calling it craziness. All of this craziness.
With big hand gestures, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Big hand gestures. Yeah, for sure. So all of this craziness has to do with, well, elite pitcher this, elite pitcher that. Only because she was allowed to do it as she was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So stop. Stop doing that. I think we could talk about this similarly in the obstruction rule as well.
Yeah.
It's just gotten silly. And so, but the AR is what the AR is. And if they are rocking back and forth or forward and back, and they lose contact temporarily, but over the plane of the pitcher's plates, we're going to be okay with that. You had indicated something, Pete, that said this maybe clarifies something that's the how it's been called for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I was almost beside myself when I was at a clinic several years ago, and one of the clinicians, they were demonstrating different pitching things. And at one time, the pitcher rocked back onto her trailing leg and picked her foot a foot off the pitcher's plate, straight up,
mm-hmm.
and straight back in, and then delivered the pitch. And they said, legal or illegal? I'm like, illegal as it gets.
Yeah.
Completely illegal. And they're like, no, legal.
Which is odd because, you know, AR 10.7, if we read it, so we're now introducing new evidence, Your Honor. The pitcher begins their pitch by lifting their pivot foot straight up in the air without reducing the distance to home plate and bringing it right back down into its original spot on the plate. They then take a step forward. Ruling, this footwork is illegal. The pitcher may not lose contact between the pivot foot and pitcher's plate without it being considered the one allowable step or stride. So 10.7 of the approved rulings, right before 10.8, like numerically, check my math, maybe.
You got it.
It mentions if you're lifting straight up and down, that's not okay.
Right.
But I guess I fail to see, is the person not rocking in 10.7 in their mind? Like, is that person just like kind of standing there and picking their foot up like a horse? Like just kind of like and foot up, foot down, stomping.
Yeah. Well, that's the one that I described in the clinic, right?
Yeah. It sounded like, I mean, it's how, as you did that, that's what made me think of that ruling, is that it sounded like you described that.
Yes. And I'm hopeful that actually my objection made it to the rules committee,
mm-hmm.
Because I was literally, I'm like, this makes absolutely no sense. I'm pulling the rule book out. I'm looking at the rule book. It says very crystal clear, you may not do this. And I've got some high level umpires, clinicians, and assigners in this thing saying, no, the pitcher's plate is a plane that goes up to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you don't break that plane and move forward off of that, then it's legal. And I'm like, I don't see how. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you, right? You're the bosses. You know? But
yeah.
Like, this has to be wrong. This just has to be wrong. But these guys are, you know, Division I.
Maybe AR 10.8 should be called the David rule. And they did get to them.
That'd be seven.
Oh, seven was, I was just saying maybe eight, where they said, all right, David, you want it codified that we can take our foot off the plate? I'll put it right here in 10.8. As long, and look, it even says, include minimal incidental separation over the plane of the plate. It goes to the moon, David. It goes to the moon, buddy.
Boy. So what's that mean now for, you know, some of the social media stuff? We wanted to talk a little bit about that as well. And one of the things that we saw in a Facebook group called Softball Umpires. So the ruling was posted, and then a response from one of the, this is public, right? So, you know, Jim Sweeney posted this response to Mike Papenkoek's post about it. So Jim Sweeney says, the rule specifically states the foot must remain in contact with the ground, !!! I love that punctuation, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I am emphatically asking this question, or I'm making a statement and making it seem like a question. I love both of those. It also states she can't drag the foot to create another starting point. 10.5.3.3, the pivot foot must remain in contact with the ground, however, blah, blah, blah. We read that already. The pitcher is not allowed to hop or drag to replant, pro hop, gain a second starting point, and push off their pivot foot. Once having lost contact with the pitcher's plate, the pivot foot may trail on the ground, but may not bear weight again until the pitch is released. So it seems like Jim Sweeney is saying possibly that, you know, the rocking back is the time that you're losing contact, and mm-hmm. rocking forward puts you a new starting point. To that point, I would say probably not. You know, the foot didn't move forward closer to the batter.
Mm-hmm.
So just the contact point on the ground did, but it's a little confusing. And another contributor here to the Facebook post said, how much is a little? Now, is it if I'm rocking back and now, so I see this rocking back and forth does not involve the knee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rocking back and then I go forward, and I might have rocked so far that the center of my foot came off the back of the pitcher's plate.
Yeah.
And then I rocked forward again, and I've now re-established contact with the pitcher's plate now, mm-hmm. on the front part of my foot. Yep, I got it. Lost contact. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I bent my knee and picked my foot up.
Yeah.
I'm going back to AR-7 on that one. It's like, nope, you're not allowed to pick your foot up off the plate. You're allowed to rock back in your foot momentarily, very little, lose contact with the pitcher's plate. You're fine. But if you pick your foot up, Nope, illegal.
And as they use the phrase clearing the cleats there, and they say it's commonly referred to that way. I've not heard that phrase, so I don't know if that's regional. I don't know if that's a group thing where it's a level of umpiring is more common in the among the college umpires and they say it more often. But I've never heard it said, you know, in any commentary on games. I've never heard it anywhere else. So I'm not entirely sure what they're describing. They may be very well describing what you're talking about there. The fact that as you pivot and rock backwards, it's possible for, because if you were to maintain contact, it is possible to do it where literally the only thing touching is the barest corner of that pitcher's plate, remaining contact at the center of your shoe, like as you're there. And then you go forward again on that and clear across. And then you're planting now on the front part of the plate as you rock across the entirety. Yeah, maybe that's what that means, but I don't know what it means enough to say is that what they're describing is what they're 100% describing what you're describing, and this is the perfect example or not. I don't
know. I'm with you. And it's probably, you know, it's our lack of experience, right? It's very commonly said phrase, not common in our circles. Our circles might not be in the right, you know, the right circles.
The Venn diagrams just don't intersect.
Yeah, exactly. So I've never heard it, and I'm just thinking about it. It's actual words, you know, clearing the cleats. You're using, that's your pushing foot. Right? Mm-hmm. That's the foot that the pitcher is going to push with. You don't need to clear anything if you don't move your foot on the pitcher's plate. So I go back to my soapbox again and say, teach the girls, the ladies, to pitch correctly, maintaining contact with the pitcher's plate. You know, some of the ones where you see these in high school a lot, and then I've even made some comments when somebody's asked me about it before. I'm like, yeah, please don't do that. You know, if she's going to go play in college, you probably want to break that habit.
Mm-hmm.
And what they'll do is they'll start on the plate and they'll take a step forward. So, and then their heel is touching the plate, right? Or they'll slide off the front of the pitcher's plate and now their heel is touching the plate. And then they pitch from there. Stop teaching people to do that. The 4 inches that you got closer to the plate, they have to hinder you more than utilizing the ball of your foot to push off of the pitcher's plate.
Yeah. So
keep your foot on the plate, dude. It's advantageous to you to be able to use that plate to push from. So yeah, please don't do that. All right. So let's make sure we've done a lot of talking. So let's make sure that our NCAA umpires out there are crystal clear on this. The ruling, the approved ruling says that during the rocking motion, somebody going from the pitcher's plate rocking back on their heel, losing momentary contact with the pitcher's plate, rocking back forward again, and then taking their step stride and delivering the pitch is legal. They are allowed to lose contact with the pitcher's plate for that momentary thing.
And the way that, you know, Mike, so when I said earlier about the way it's called, the way that Mike Papinchuk there on this post said it when he was answering Jim Sweeney's comment was he said the approved ruling came out today when this was posted. The rule book was already printed, has already been printed. That's why it's important to be registered to keep up with the notes in the AR as they occur. When you take the exam in a couple more weeks, don't rely solely upon the rule book. The ARs play a vital role in tweaking the rules as the season progresses. So you need to make sure that you are considering the entire rule set as not only the rule book, but the addendums of all the approved rulings as they exist when you consider them. So if this happens, if you're in a game and someone's quoting, may not lose contact or anything else, you need to be able to say, well, you know, there is this approved ruling, which is basically an addendum or an additional explanation to the rule so that you are able to interpret it yourself. When I wrote this rule, what did I intend? And they're telling you that they intended that it was okay during the rock for you to lose a little bit of contact as part of the rock. I think as you said, thinking about using the knee or anything else as a lifting mechanism is definitely not what this is referring to. If you keep that straight leg and you're moving back and you lose a little contact, and you get back again. Okay.
Yeah. That's great advice, Pete. So know the rule book, know the approved rulings, know that they exist, use them for the test, and use them in your day-to-day game management when people are questioning you in the rule book. I love it.
Yeah. And I've always found it helpful. I did this 1 year with summer ball, where it was as you transition from high school to USA softball, there's the whole thing about do you need to make an attempt to get out of the way or not make an attempt to get out of the way. I had that part of the rule book literally marked so that I could refer to it if need be, I studied it before it started so I could specifically say, the rule says in the book, section this, page this on the latest rule book, use the wording. You know, so even here, if you think this is going to be a problem, if it becomes a problem in your game and you're calling this and you're getting questioned, have these things kind of at the ready, have this memorized. Yeah. If you could sit there in the rule and be like, approved ruling 10.8 says that, in addition to rule 10.5.5.3, blah, 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 if you can rattle those off, Now, what kind of confidence are you encouraging people to have in you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, love it. Great episode, Pete.
Yep, absolutely. So until next time.
Welcome to season 4.